Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. You can start today on time. The 6 o'clock minion is getting a little bit earlier each day. They can start closer to 6. So, Nitz Hashem next week. Monday, by the way, is a regular schedule. So, a secular holiday, but it's a regular Monday schedule in davening. It's not a holiday schedule for davening. So, we have our regular daf on Monday. Okay. So, let us begin. We're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, only halfway down by the two dots, a little bit less than halfway down. Nitz Hashem will catch up. Yesterday we had 6 of the 7 shitas that I said that we would have. I handed out a sheet just to quickly review the shitos that we had starting from the Mishnah on the Omen Aleph. So we had the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said that you need kavana only for the first part of the first paragraph of Shema. And Machlokes, possibly Rashi and Tosos, Aleph Avecha and B'chol Miyodecha. And that was the first opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Then we had opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which said you need the entire first parasha. We had another brisa we brought down that from the Tanakhama, that second brisa that said it's the first and second parasha. Then we had Rav Acha, Mishum of Yehuda, who said, similar to Rabbi Akiva, we brought down slight difference between that sheet and says that you need over here just for the first parasha. That was similar to Rabbi Akiva, but a slight difference whether Baruch Shem Kvod or not. Those are the first 4 shitas. And then towards the end of yesterday's year, we had the 5th and the 6th shita. We had Rav Zutra's shita that said for the first parsha, you need both the Kriya and the Kavana. And for the second parsha, you only need Kavana to have to read it. Like we said, that not Lahagia, but to read it. That would be fine. And then the last shita from yesterday, the 6th of the 7 that we'll have, none of the first 6 are lahalacha. The 7th is the one that's lahalacha, really, although it's obviously you're supposed to have kavanah for all of the Shema. The 6th shita was of Yoshaya's shita. And he said that the first parsha, you need both kriya and kavanah. And the second parsha, you only need kavanah. You could actually think it and not say it, and that would be fine. Okay, so that's what we left off by the two dots yesterday. We're now going to analyze a little bit the 6th shita. So Amar Mar. Whenever we have Amamar, it means we're going to repeat over something. When we have Gufa, it means repeat over the whole thing. Amamar means repeat over part of it. So Amamar, we repeat only over the 6th Shita, Rabbi Yoshaya Shita. Rabbi Yoshaya Omer, Ad Kan Mitzvah Kriya. The first part is Mitzvah Kriya. Mikan Veilach Mitzvah Kavana. The second paragraph, that's Kavana. Implying over here that the first paragraph is only Kriya, the second paragraph is only Kavana. So Gemara questions, why? Where'd you get this from? Ma'ishno mikan v'eilach mitzvah Kavana. Why is the second paragraph only Kavana? Because it says, Mishum d'chsiv alav avchem, that means in your heart, and you have to have Kavana. So hachanami, hachsiv alav avecha in the first paragraph. So why would you say that the second paragraph has Kavana and the first paragraph doesn't need Kavana? So Gemara says, you're right. That's not the explanation. Hachi kamar. Ad kan mitzvah kriya v'kavana. The first paragraph requires kriya to read it out loud and to have kavana. And mikan ve'elet, the second paragraph, only requires kavana below kriya. Seems to say that you'd be able to just be yotzei by thinking the paragraph. So one says, how'd you get that? Umayishno, where'd you see in the second paragraph that you don't need kriya? Because ad kan mitzvah kriya v'kavana d'chsiv alav avecha v'dibar tabam. The first paragraph needs both, because the first paragraph of Shema has the words Livavecha and Dibarta, so Kavana and saying. So Gemara says, second paragraph has the same words. Hasim Nami. Hoksiv Alav Alchem Ladabar Bam. So why doesn't the second paragraph require both as well? So Gemara says, no. The second paragraph, the Dibarta Bam, Ladabar Bam, is not teaching us that you have to read the Shema aloud. That goes on something else. Like yesterday we said it goes on Tefillin. The second paragraph teaches us you don't need Kavana because the Alav Alchem was teaching us the place of the Tefillin. So too, according to Roshaya, the second paragraph of the Ahau B'divrei Torah Ksiv. That's that you should learn out loud. You should know the Torah. You should learn Torah out loud. You should be familiar with the Torah, so you should be able to respond and answer questions about the Torah. You should be familiar on your lips. That's a whole separate discussion about whether you should learn out loud. Suffice to say that there, Gemara is going to discuss later on, that it is more appropriate and ideal for a person to try to learn out loud. When you're listening to a shiur, that's called learning out loud. Even if you're listening to the shiur, that's called learning out loud, because I'm saying it out loud. But when you're learning by yourself at home, you're chazrin the daf, you're doing something. So ideally, I tell people, ideally, you should try to say it out loud. Some people say that they can't learn well if they say it out loud. It's somehow distracting. So it is brought down that it is a skula to remember your learning to say it out loud. But I tell people, if that's the biggest sin and the biggest concern that you have in your life, that you learn a lot without saying it out loud, no, you go up to 120 years, you go up to Shemayim, that's a big zechus to have. But if all things are equal, if a person can learn out loud, it's preferable to learn out loud.
Does the video recording count?
Yeah, video recording counts. When you're watching somebody else out loud, that's fine. You don't have to say it along with the recording, right? So that's called out loud also. Okay. I'm sorry?
It doesn't mean you.
If you're in a group setting, it's fine. We don't expect the two chavrusas, even though they usually do, to yell at each other simultaneously. But again, it's the out loud. When you hear something out loud, scientists will tell you that's also a better way to remember something as opposed to just scanning with your eyes. Again, the idea is that you should learn. However you learn best, that's the bottom line. Tana Rabban. We have over here the final shita, which is Rav Meir's shita. The pasuk says over here, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? We have the pasuk, the famous pasuk. So, Ad kan tzrichas kavanas alev, dir Rav Meir. Rav Meir says the only thing that requires kavana is Shema Yisrael. Not even v'yahavta. Just Shema Yisrael, and the Mefarshim made Baruch Shem Kavod as well. So, Amar Rava, how do we pasuk? We had seven shitas. This was the seventh shita now, Rav Meir's shita, halacha ki Rav Meir. We, in fact, pass like Rav Meir, and again, as we pointed out, this is all b'di'evet. L'chatchila, you should have kavanah for all three parishes of Kriyat Shema. But what the mitzvah d'oraisa is, so the halacha l'maisa is, if you don't have kavanah, if you realize you were asleep, and you said Shema Yisrael, you didn't have any kavanahs at all, so then you have to go back and repeat Shema Yisrael, because you weren't yotze. You need to have kavanah. What is the kavanah, the minimal kavanah that you should have? You should have an understanding over here. Shema Yisrael means to understand. Kal Yisrael, we have to understand that Hashem, the midah of mercy, is Elokeinu, is the midah of Rachman. Hashem Echad, it's one God. There's no two gods. And that, Rashi says elsewhere, is the minimal amount of kavanah the person should have. If you can have deeper kavanah, it's great. If you can't, great. It's the bottom line is, that should be the minimal kavanah that a person should have, that the understanding, what does it mean, Hashem Echad, and there are other things that one can have in mind that we're going to learn now a little bit with the word Echad, but Marichim with the word Echad, what you'd have in mind while you're married. In any event, let's go Vaita. Tanya. Learn the Braisa, Sumchus Omer. Call a Marich Biechot. If somebody extends the word Echad. Now, how you do this, some people unfortunately do it wrong. And if you extend it wrong, you're actually changing around the word. Echad. That's wrong. That's outright wrong. Even though you see many, Tamidei Chachamim sometimes stretching it out too much. So you're not allowed to go and stretch it out too much. It's the Dalid that's supposed to be stretched out and not the Ches. So call a Marich Biechot, Marichel Yomu Vishnosav. This is a great skula. You're basically saying, I'm giving up a little bit extra of my time, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to stretch out this word, so you'll give me extra time. Midah k'neged midah. That's one nice little cute understanding of it. Now, if somebody's marich with the ideas of Echad, you understand what it means, so then it means you're going to have a long life, because Hashem wants people like you on this world. Amar v'achav bar Yaakov, u'bedalid. The dalis over here is what you're supposed to stretch out, not the ches, and not the aleph. It should be something like, I'm not necessarily the perfect person to say, but Echad. But you have to be careful that you don't make the duh at the end into a komatz or echad duh, or some other sound. Echad, you just have to stretch it out a little bit. So you don't change the dalit sound and you don't change the ches sound. Otherwise, you're not saying the word echad. And
I just stretch dalit, I don't understand.
So you just stretch it out a little bit longer. Echad, it's a little bit longer. It's not, you're not stretching it out duh. That's wrong also. You have to stretch it a little bit. How you do this, you figure it out. But you can't make it into another sound. If you have that accent, that's right, that's fine. The Taimanim have a different pronunciation. So Amar Rav Ashi says, "Ubuvach lo yachtov b'ches." And you can't do it incorrectly. If you pronounce the ches incorrectly, if you cut it off, if you don't say it well enough, so then you're not yotze. Rashi says, "Velo b'ches." Rashi says, "Bedalid velo b'ches." The Kokama Damar. The echad below dalid, with saying the first two sounds, echad lo mishtama midi. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't help you to stretch out the aleph of the ches because you haven't said anything yet. It's the saying of the dalid that says the whole thing. Yarich ad kishir she'asenu belibo. Here's what Rashi says you'd have in your mind. Yochid b'shamayim of aretz uli abaru chosel. You should have a kavan over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one in this world, above, below, and in all the four quarters of the world. So some have a mnemonic for the Echad, is Aleph means one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, the Ches means in this world and in the Zayin Rekios, we say seventh heaven, right? There's an expression, seventh heaven, so that's based upon the Gemara. That's stolen straight from the Gemara that there are seven heavens. Person says, I'm so happy I'm in seventh heaven. That's the Gemara that says there are seven heavens in Shemayim, and there's this world, so that's the Ches, is the one plus seven. And the Dalit is the four corners of the world. So if you have in mind the Kavana, Echad, and you have in mind God is one in this world, the seven Rekiyas of Shemayim, and the four corners of the world, that's a wonderful Kavana to have. And as long as it takes you to think that, that's how long you should say Echad. That's what you're supposed to do. Ideally. Rav Yirmiyahu Yosef Kamei Rechiyah Barava. Chazi da Umayach Tuva. He said he was stretching it out a lot. So Amalei Kibadim Lachti Lamal Lamata Labaruchas Shemayin Su Lo Tzrichas. You don't have to go further. Don't do it too long. And in fact, the aim brings down over here, the Mizrahi brings down that from the Rav Yot, in the name of the various Gonim, he says that a person over here, I had that wrong note. It's the Marsha brings down over here that you shouldn't have too many kavonis when you say Shema because you may miss Tefillah B'Tzibur. So you want to make sure that your kavonis in Shema, people say a long Shema, that's very appropriate. A person should say Shema slower. But all these kavanas that we're talking about should make sure that you still say Shemon Esrei with the Tzibur. That's the definition of Tefillah B'Tzibur. So I always tell people, if you want to daven a very long Shema that's very beautiful and wonderful, then come early. There's no mitzvah to say Shema with the Tzibur. There's a mitzvah to say Shemon Esrei with the Tzibur. And if you're saying a long Shema, I see sometimes people, I'm not sure I understand it, they're big, big Talmidei Chachamim, and they're saying a very, very long Shema. So maybe Yechidim, it's different. They're so great that they don't need to daven with the Tzibur. But for me and plain folk, so I want to make sure I always daven with the Tzibur because then your tefillahs are better answered. So therefore, if you want to daven a nice long Shema, so come earlier. There's no reason that you have to say Shema with the Tzibur. You should end with the Tzibur. So you say Shemon Esrei at the end of the Brachos Kriya Shema, Ga'al Yisrael, that should be with the Tzibur. So the Maharsha tells us, be careful. You elongate the Shema because we're going to learn a lot more dinim about the Shema, how to properly pronounce the Shema. It's very, very important. One of the most important tefillahs that we have, but you should learn to do it right, but learn to do it also in the right time frame because you want to make Shemon Esrei with the Tzibur. A person should stand up when he says the words Aleva Vecha. What does it mean standing up? So Rashi says it means stop walking. You don't have to stand up. You can sit down. You can be standing. It means you should stop walking. You can't really have great kavanah if you're walking. So you're allowed to say Shema while you're traveling on the road. But if at all possible, you should try to stop walking while you're saying the Shema. And at least to the part of Aleva Vecha, all the shitas that said you need kavana, each shita respectively. Aleva Vecha sokadaitach, ela ema ad Aleva Vecha. It means da'amida. You should not just say that Aleva Vecha stopping, it's Shema until Aleva Vecha, like the first shita that says that's where you have to have kavana, either until Aleva Vecha or until Kol Miodecha, the first shita that we brought down. Mikan Velech, lo. After that, if you continue walking, that's okay. Not ideal, but if a guy is in a rush, he has to go someplace. You know, sometimes you rush into shul, and you're going to miss Zman Kriyashma. So you say it on the way to shul. So at least try to stand still and not walk to shul while you're saying Shema Yisrael until Aleva Avecha, if at all possible. Yochanan Omar, call a parsha kula b'amida. You should say the entire first parsha without traveling. Again, you could say, doesn't mean standing up, it means sitting down. It can be any way you want, but not traveling. This is Rav Yochanan to his shita yesterday, where we learned he said Allah is like the fourth shita, that the entire first paragraph of Shema should be said with the kavana, and therefore that shita said that you should have kavana in the first paragraph, and you can't really have kavana while you're traveling. So a person should try, if at all possible, to say the first paragraph of Kriya Shema in a not traveling position. It could be standing, could be sitting, lav dafka the standing. It means not traveling. Tell her about another bride. Shema Yisrael, Shema Kevim, Shema Chod, Zu Kriya Shema. This is a reference over here. This is Kriya Shema. This is Rav Meir Shita. That's the mitzvah d'oraisa of saying Kriya Shema in the morning and at night. The rest is very, very nice, but that's not d'oraisa. Zu Kriya Shema, Shema Yehuda Nasi. This is what Rebbe's Shita was like, Rav Meir. Amalei Rav leRav Chia. Rav told his son. Rav told his uncle Rav Chia. Lo chazino lei leRebbe the mekabel le malchus shemaim. He said, "Wait, I never saw Rebbe mekabel le malchus shemaim. Maybe Rebbe was one of those tzaddikim that didn't have to daven every day. He was so immersed in his learning that he didn't say Shema every day. He wasn't mekabel le malchus shemaim because his whole life was all malchus shemaim." So Amalei said, "No, Bar Patsky, you son of lions." He was referring to his brother. He said, "You're my nephew over here. You son of royalty over here. You son of a great family." Rebbe would stop in the middle of shir and put his hands over his eyes. You know, it looks like he was just rubbing his forehead. That's when he said Shema. Well, people, somebody asked him a question in the shir, or while he paused him in the shir, that's when he was Mekabel of Ol Malchus Shemayim. Yes, that's one of the sources. Very good. You beat me to it, Mel. That's one of the sources that we have for covering up your eyes when you say Shema. So some suggest it's to have better kavana. Others suggest, we'll see in a moment, this brought down the Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah in the back, that it's because you're moving your eyes about. Some people have the custom over here that they would move their eyes about in all the directions to signify that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the dominant, the only omnipotent God in all the four corners of the world. So some people have the custom that they move their eyes in all the directions, up, down, right, left, and therefore people see you, they think you're crazy. They say, what's this guy doing? The minion would make fun of you. So they would cover up their eyes so the people wouldn't see them moving their eyes around. That's probably the more of the marker for this, but Rebbe would cover up his eyes, or he would go his hands over his eyes, and that's when he'd be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, and he only said Shema. And this way he was Yotzei in the midst of the Darayis in the morning, because he started the shiur before, and he ended the shiur after the Zman of Kriya Shema. Right? If you think the daf sometimes goes too long, imagine if we started the daf at 4 and we ended it at 10. So that's what Rebbe did. So 11 probably, because he even makes sometimes Zman Kriya Shema late. So he would have a long shiur that started before Zman Kriya Shema and ended after Zman Kriya Shema. So he would cover his eyes for briefly for a moment and just say Shema Yisrael. Now they asked Chose ever go, did he finish off the rest of the Shema afterwards or not? So Bar Kapara Omer, Ein Chose Gomer. Bar Kapara said, no, he didn't. He said, yes, he did. So Rabbi Kar, who said he didn't finish, said to Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon Rabbi, the son of Rabbi, says, Bishlam Lidi, according to me, he says he didn't finish it. Da Amina, ain't a chozer, the Gomra, he didn't go back and say the whole Shema afterwards. Now I understand. Now you understand why he said a Shmaisa every morning about Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Shia. Because that's how he was Yotze, Yitzias Mitzrayim. He didn't say Vayomer. And he didn't have to say Vayomer afterwards, but he was Yotzi Yitzias Mitzrayim by mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Shia. Ela did Chod, the Yarmus Chos V'Gomer, Lomalei Liadure. So why did your father, why did Rabbi go and repeat the Shema? He already said Yitzias Mitzrayim, so why did he have to say Parsha Vayomer later on? So Kidei Laskir Yitzias Mitzrayim Bismana. So he responded, in order they should say the Kriya Shema of Yitzias Mitzrayim Bismana. That's also a mitzvah to say that Bismana, as opposed to saying it later on, which you could be doing being a bindi at it. Amar Vila Bered the Rav Shmuel Bamar to Mishmei the Rav. Amar Shmai Yisrael Shem Kenu Shem Echad V'Nenas B'Shino Yotza. If you, now it doesn't mean you fell asleep and didn't say it, but if you didn't say it with Kavan and the rest of the Shema, so then you're Yotze the saying of the Shema. The Dreisa parts and the Rabbanim parts, you're Yotze saying all three parts of the Kriya Shema, as long as you have Kavan during the first words, Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem. And even if you didn't have such great kavanah, you were half asleep. That's what it means over here. Half asleep, not fully asleep, you're Yotze. Only Rav Nachman Dori Abdo, Rav Nachman told his servant Dori, when you're watching me over here in the shul, Bipsuka kamot tzaren, tvei lo tzaren. When you see me, if you would miss some, you'd be up all night learning, you'd be tired in the morning. So he says, if you see me dremeling off, if you see me drifting off over here, so nudge me, wake me up for Shema Yisrael to make sure that I say I have a kavanah. If you see me dremeling a little bit, sleeping, schluffing, davening during the rest of Shema, you don't have to wake me up. Don't trouble me to wake me up. I'm going to Rav Yossi Berei, the rabbi. Similarly, Rav Yosef said to Rav Yosef Berei, the rabbi, he said, your father, Avuch, Hechi Avi Ovid, what did he do? What was his custom in terms of saying the Shema? He also would stay up all night learning Mistama and would be tired. So I'm alay, Bipsuka Kama, Havikom and Tsar Navshay. It's very low, Havikom and Tsar Navshay. He also would make sure the first paragraph, the first pasuk, he said with tremendous Kavanah. And afterwards, if he didn't say it with tremendous Kavanah, but he said it, he would be Yotze. I'm Rav Yosef, Perak Don Lo Yikari Kriya Shema. If a person is in the prone position, lying face down, lying on your back, face up, that's an improper position to say Kriya Shema, because it's not proper. Rashi says, Shokhav Agabu, you're lying on your back, upon of Lamala, that's not right, because your Erva, your Gid, is straight up towards Shemaim. It's a pasnish position. It's not right to be in that position. So Gemara says, Mikra hu delo likre. It seems to say only Shema you shouldn't say that way, but it implies, Ha Muganya Shapadami. You're allowed to sleep in that position? We learned elsewhere. You're not allowed to sleep in that position. It's an improper position to sleep. He would curse out. He would say, so you're doing it wrong if you lie flat on your back. So he answered, the difference is that when you're sleeping over here, as long as you're tilted a little bit to the side, that's enough. You're not showing a disrespect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by lying flat on your back. So you're a little tilted a little bit to the side, that's fine. Mikra, however, when you're reading Shema, Avogav the Matzli Nami Yosra, to just tilt a little bit on your side, that's not good. You should really be fully on your side. That's a more Bechavadika position. You want to say, Rav Yochanan Matzli Vikari. Rav Yochanan would just tilt a little bit on his side and be Yotze that way, and it, nobody says that he did something wrong. So what it says, Rav Yochanan is different. Shani Rav Yochanan, the Baal Basahaba, he was morbidly obese. The Gemara tells us afterwards that he in other places, that he was very, very obese. And therefore, he couldn't literally turn to his side. And therefore, if him tilting a little bit was enough. But for a normal person, sized person, so then you should tilt much more for Shema to your side, and for sleeping, and just a little bit would be enough. Then we go back to the Mishnah of Prakim Shoah V'chule. We said in the paragraphs, in between the paragraphs, there's certain things you can interrupt for, and during the paragraphs, there's less you can interrupt for. So now we go back and discuss that. I said when we did the Mishnah that we would revise it slightly. Here's where we revise it slightly. I more or less told it to you correctly in the Mishnah anyway, but here we'll see what the real machlok is between Rebbein and Yehuda. We Prakim Shoah Meshiv V'chule. So Meshiv Machlos Mai. What do you say if you can ask in between the paragraphs, you're allowed to ask for kavod, and then said meishiv for what? So ilay ma vigil my ilay ma mimnei kavod. If you're telling me you can answer for kavod too, so then what's the chiddush? Has to mishal shoyel who do me bar? If you can ask, you can certainly respond for kavod. So that can't be it. Elo shalom mimnei kavod who meishiv shalom chol adam. You're allowed to ask shalom to the rabbi, and to answer you can ask, you can answer to anybody that asks you shalom, even if they're not a person that you would necessarily have to be mechabed. Again, we always learn you're supposed to say hello to everybody, and they'll be the first person to say hello to everybody, like Rav Yochanan was, but at the same time, not during the time when you're not allowed to talk. So here, you're only for covered. But if somebody comes up to you and says, Shalom Aleichem to you, you can answer Shalom Aleichem Shalom back to them. So wait, keep on reading. I'm a sefer. Ben, so Shalom Ibn Yair, Umeshiv, Meshiv Machas Mai. So we said, in the middle of the paragraphs themselves, not in between the paragraphs, in the middle of the paragraph, you can only ask for Yair. Guys, you're afraid he's going to beat you up. Not he's going to kill you, then you'll be out to answer, of course. But he's not going to kill you. It's not because of the false shows. But you're just afraid of this guy. So you're allowed to say hello to him, and you can respond as well. So what does it mean you can respond as well? Ilem Ibn Yair, if you're saying because of fear. So again, what's the chiddush? Hashtag Mishal Shoel, if you can ask, certainly you can answer. So when it says, El Ibn Yair Kavod, it means that you can answer even for kavod in the middle of a paragraph itself. So wait a second. The way we just revised it, Hainu Rav Yochanan. That's Rav Meir now is exactly Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir is exactly the sheet of Rav Yehuda. That's not Rav Yehuda Omer. That's exactly what Rav Yehuda said. The answer shalom ni ayira umeish ni akavod ubiprak shalom ni akavod umeish shalom chol adam. So then you've just revised Rav Meir's sheet into exactly what Rav Yehuda says. But we know that there's a machlokus over here. So what's going on? So one says, you're right, Chisuri Mechsra, Bachitani. We leave out we left out certain words over here. It's interesting, I heard once from Reshef the Shlita explaining that Rabbi wrote down the Mishnayis. He really weren't supposed to write down the Mishnayis. He had to do this in order that people would learn Torah. Otherwise, if we had to do this all by heart, this room would be empty, myself included. I can't do Daf Yomi by heart. So nobody would be here. So Rabbi knew that nobody would be here. So he said, write it down. But he didn't want to write it down fully. So he left out certain places, and these are the chesuri mechsuras. So every time we have a chesuri mechsura, you're writing down, we should be doing this by heart. But Rabbi, in his great wisdom, saw that this would lead to a decrease in the learning of Torah Hashem, and therefore he said, write it down. But the chesuri mechsuras are to remind us of this. So here's a chesuri mechsura. There's missing stuff over here in the Mishnah. And it says as follows, Lachi Tani, Bikprakim Shav Ne'akavot. The May sheet is, during the prakim, you can, in between the paragraphs, you can answer kavod. You're right, you didn't have to say it, there's no chiddush, but I'll tell it to you anyway. So, according to Rav Meir, it's the same level, asking and responding. In the middle of the paragraph, same thing. You're allowed to ask because of fear. And you don't have to tell me, but I'll tell you anyway, that it's the same level to respond. That's different from Rav Meir. Oh, that's different than Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda Omer, he goes down. You can ask, and then it's even easier to respond, both by the in between the paragraphs and in the middle of the paragraphs. So that's the difference between Rav Meir and Yehuda, and that's a valid machlokis. Tani Nami Yochi, the Brice is going to repeat everything that we just said over here. Hakori Eshema, Upogabo Rabu Agolu Emenu. So if you're saying the Shema and you meet up with somebody that you have to give cover to. So Biprokim, if you're in between the paragraphs, Shom Niakovit, you'll have to say. And then, of course, you can answer if he got to you first. That's Rav Meir Shita. Obiensa, if you're in the middle of the paragraph, Shom Niayira, and of course you can respond back. Divrei Rav Meir, as we just said, Tani Nami Yochi, the Brice supports what we understood, the revision that we made in the Mishnah was really actually correct, and we have a Brice to support it. If you don't have the answer, show me a era, or make me a covered. His shita, the asking is stricter, but the responding is less strict. And in the middle of the paragraph itself, will be broken. Show me a covered, or make you show, I'm sorry, and in between the paragraphs, you're allowed to, make you, be broken. Show me a covered, or make you show the whole autumn. Again, exactly the same thing that we just said. Baimine Eichi. Eichi is the name Rashi says, Kach Shemo. It's the name of an Amora who learned Braisos, Tanu Devei Rabbi Chiyah. He learned Braisos in Rabbi Chiyah's Meis Medrash. Okay, Rabbi Chiyah is really like the last of the Tanoim, first of the Amoraim. He's right at the cusp over there. And there are people that learned in his Meis Medrash, so they would say over the Braisos, Rabbi Chiyah and Rabbi Oshaya, they were the ones that really redacted all the Braisos. Those Braisos are accurate Braisos. They weren't included in the Mishnayis, but they're accurate Braisos. So he was saying over Braisos in front of the Meis Medrash of Rabbi Chiyah. And he sent them over, May Rabbi Chiyah. So Rabbi Chiyah was the redactor of these Braisos. So he said, and this is a very important idea, I wish we had more time, we're rushing already late today, there's a huge Tosos over here. The huge Tosos are usually the easier Tosos, it's the short Tosos are the hard ones. And this gives us a lot of the practical dinim in terms of when we say brachos, and when we skip in the hallel, half hallel, what's the idea, which are the full hallel days. It's a very important Tosos, so we don't have time to go through it, but it's an easy one. I suggest you try to learn it on your own over Shabbos. In any event, he said, Bahalel u'b'megillah, mahu shi'afsik. What's the halacha in regards to halal and Megillah, which are derabbanans? Some situations, halal is deraisa, but the halal derabbanan, when we say halal, only on a derabbanan level, and when we read the Megillah, which is derabbanan, both very, very important derabbanans, but derabbanans, what are the laws of interrupting in between, which we're covered in Yira? So he says, "Mi amrin the bachis would me. Mi amrin on kavu chomer for kriyashma. Daraisa posek halal derabbanan mi boya. Obviously, if you can stop during kriyashma, which is daraisa, so certainly you should be able to stop during halal, which is only derabbanan. Or do we say no? Odilma pirsumei nisa odiv. The concept that halal and megillah deal with publicizing Hashem's great miracles to us. Maybe on some level, that's even more important, albeit it's derabbanan, than a daraisa. And while we can be makel on a daraisa, you can't be makel on pirsumei nisa." That's the question. So I'm late. Posef Emekachlum. He said the first opinion was correct. The first way of looking at it was correct. If you can do it for Daraisa, you certainly can do it for the Rabbanan, and you're allowed to interrupt without any concern. Ein bekach klum. It's a strong language over here. It's easier than Kriyashma. Ein bekach klum. We didn't say that by Kriyashma. So the Tzlach points out, this is to show you, yes, it's definitely easier than Kriyashma. I'm a rabba. Yom sheyochid gomer ben es ha-halal. In days that an individual has to finish the halal, in a day that it's a chiyuv daraisa to say the halal, or not a chiyuv daraisa, but we're finishing the entire halal, you're saying with a bracha. So bein perek leperek posek. In between the paragraphs, you'd be allowed to interrupt for shalom, for kavod. The emtza perek ain't a posek, but in the middle of the paragraphs, you can't interrupt. It's like the middle of a paragraph of shema. So through the middle of a paragraph of halal, you can't interrupt for kavod. Yom she'ena yochin go be benes halal. But in days that you don't complete the halal, we say a half halal. So many would say it without a bracha. The Rav Shita, based upon this Tosos, the Rav Zatzal, said that you should try very, very hard to make a minyan on days that we say the half halal, like Rosh Chodesh, because it's not clear that you're allowed to say a bracha. There are opinions that you can't say a bracha unless you're with a minyan, with a tzibur. So that's an extra spur. You haven't needed an extra spur to daven on Rosh Chodesh with a minyan. You're getting around the suffix whether you can or cannot say a bracha on the halal that you're saying alone. If you say it with a tzibur, everybody says you can say it with a bracha. That's what this Tosafot discusses. It's a minhag to say it. So how come you're allowed to say this half halal? We normally don't make a bracha on a minhag. Yes, we do. No, we don't. Gives the various rayas back and forth. In any event, so he says on a day that the yochid is not going to say halal, afilu b'emtza perek posik, then you can stop. One of the reasons is because there's no bracha, so there's no problem in stopping. But if you do make the bracha, it's more lenient and you're allowed to stop. More questions. It's ini. For Rav Bar Shuva, there's this great Talmud Chacham, Rav Bar Shuva, Ikla Lagabi the Ravina. He went through in front of Ravina once. Ravina was saying the Shema on the Yom Hashem Yochid Gomer Sahal, on a day that you don't complete the Hallel, and Hava, that was the day that it was, Lo Pazikle, and he didn't stop to give him covered. So what's the answer? So Shani Rav Bar Shuva, he says, no, Ravina, and his relationship with Rav Bar Shuva, the Lo Choshev Le the Ravina, he wasn't that significant to him. Now, I'm assuming this means that Ravina was at least his equivalent in learning, if not higher than him in learning. So he felt, it's not right that I have to stop him. It's more covered that I should be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not interrupt my Shema than stopping to say Shalom Aleichem to Rav Bar Shuva. Okay. By the way, we continue. We have another name that's unusual. We have the first name, Echi. Echi, by the way, is one of Binyamin's sons. So the Mepharshim bring down that that's where the name Echi comes from. He's one of Binyamin's sons. Ashion, I'm not sure what the source of Ashion is, but he was also the name of a Talmud Chacham. Tanu Devei Ravami, Mei Ravami. He learned the Braisos in Ravami's base medrash, Mei Ravami. And that's why, this, according to many, that's why this is brought over here, because it's not directly collected from the content, but since we had a star before that an Amori said over something in the base medrash of his Rebbe, so here we have another Amori saying over Braisos in the base medrash of his Rebbe. And he said, totally unrelated, but other than that stylistic reasoning. So he says, Hashari b'tanus, if a person is fasting, an individual fast, so ma'u shiyitom achila, ma'u shiyitom, is he allowed to taste something? No, he's going to break his fast that night, he's making a soup, he wants to know, the soup tastes good, do I need to put in salt or not? So achila v'shasiyo kibalei, he accepted upon himself not to eat and drink, however, v'holeka, and he's not eating and drinking, this is called tasting. Or do we say, Odilma, Hanoa Kibalei? He said, I'm not going to get any Hanoa from food today. And there is some Hanoa you get from tasting it. So what's the answer? So Amalei, so he responded, Ravami responded to him, Toeim, you're allowed to taste over here, the Ein Bekach Klum. Again, some say this is the same language as before, the Ein Bekach Klum, so that's why it's listed over here. It's an unusual language. In any event, it says, you're allowed to. A person who's taking upon himself an individual fast, he's allowed to say, though, I really took it upon myself just for eating and drinking, but if I need to taste the food that I'm going to break my fast on, I can taste it right now.
It's only a personal fast.
The simple way to understand it is a personal fast. Yeah. So again, we don't have time to go into it. Halacha l'maaseh, they talk about on a regular fast that you can also taste as well. possibly, and spit it out. You not swallow it. Do swallow it. Whole big discussion. Again, I'm sorry for rushing so much, but again, I invite people to listen to my Mishnah Berurah Yomi Shiurim online on OU Torah, and there you can look on the Ein Mishpat, look up those simanim, and there I go through in much, much, much greater detail the halacha l'maisa. Tani Nami Yochi, the Brice says in support of what we just said, the Brice says the same thing. Mitamas eino tuna brucha. If somebody goes and tastes something and intends to spit it out, according to most, then you don't make a bracha on it even. Vashari b'tanis toein v'mikach klum. And it says the same lashon over here. If you're fasting and you taste something, it's not a problem. That's allowed. At kama, knew how much you taste, right? The people that do the toameh custom on Shabbos afternoon, Friday afternoon, to taste the food for Shabbos. So that's the idea, that the Shabbos food should be spiced correctly. So some people eat so much on Friday afternoon, they have no taiva to eat at night. That's totally wrong. But you're allowed to taste the food. So how much do you mean tasting the food? It's a tiniest. I'm only tasting. This is the 700th taste of this soup that I've had. Right? So no, the answer is, Rami Rasi, Tame Ad Shir Reviyasi. You shouldn't have more than a Reviyas. You're tasting. It should be less than a Reviyas. You shouldn't have more than a Reviyas, that's for sure. So a taste is a taste. You shouldn't have a lot to put in your mouth. Before I should talk about exactly what the shear is over here. Again, ideally, most people don't taste on a tinus either. Either most people that are fasting on a tinus can manage somehow without having to taste the food to make sure that it's perfect for that night.
That's a soup,
so anything. So,
that's
a liquid. He's talking about a liquid. Because the taste is mostly a liquid. You're tasting a liquid. You're not tasting solids usually. So that's why it uses the lashon of revius. So, mistama, revius and kizayis are not the same. So certainly, I can't imagine lemaisa this being a problem. You don't taste anything on a tinus. Again, if somebody really has to, the person who's cooking, they're cooking for a large group, and they're all going to be starved after the tinus, and they're going to be upset if it's not. Okay, maybe you can have a head to the taste. Okay. On the rap, kolanosi shalom chaveru kodim shiyispalo kilu also bama. Now this is an important thing because people don't know this halacha, and we'll see ultimately what the real halacha lamais is inside of the Gemara. But you're not supposed to run around saying shalom aleichem to the entire world and greet people before you daven. It's pasnished. You're supposed to go and greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you greet anybody else. If a guy comes up to you in the morning, you shouldn't say shalom aleichem to him. No, that's not what it means. But we'll see. It means to go out of your way. I'll stop over at that guy's house and talk to him 15 minutes before davening, and then I'll go to shul. That's wrong. But if you come to shul early, before davening, and your friend's there also early before davening, you come to the daf, you're allowed to say hello to the guy next to you in the daf, right? I wish you good morning. I haven't davened yet this morning, so I wished everybody good morning. You're allowed to do that. Het to gomer, l'chatchila, mitzvah. But what you can't do is go out of your way and have conversations before davening. That's what the Gemara is going to tell us in a nutshell. So he says, it's like you made a bama. A bama is an inappropriate mizbeach. There were times that the bamas were allowed, your personal backyard Mizbeach was allowed during the days that we didn't have the Mishkan and Shiloh and until the Beis HaMikdash was built. So when we were in Nov and Givon and during the first 14 years, you were allowed to have your own private bama. But after that, you weren't allowed to have your own private bama anymore, and that's the halacha today. So if somebody goes and does this, it's like they built their own private bama, which is not allowed. Where do we get this from? It's a play on the words in the Pasuk. Shenema in the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Chidlu lachem, leave them alone, min ha'adam, asher neshama b'apo, ki bameh nechshavu. You should leave man. Well, he's worthless. So Gemara says, al tikri bameh el abama. If you greet a man, that's how we dash this out, homiletically. If you greet a person before you greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's like you made a bama, when you're not supposed to do that. Shmuel says slightly different than Rav. Bameh chashav toluzeh. It's in other words, what does it mean? What is man worth? He says, because you went over to man first, lo, and not God first. You don't have to play on the word bameh, bama. He says, the word itself, bameh, tells us that how dare you go and give significance to a human being before you give significance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a little bit like the other day, we said you can't eat before you daven, because you're taking care of yourself before you take care of God. So somebody that physically can manage not to eat before davening shouldn't eat before davening. So too, if you're not going out of your way, if you're going out of your way to say hello to somebody before davening, that's improper. Masa Rosh Hashanah says, wait a second, we just learned the entire yesterday's shiur, today's shiur, about saying hello to somebody in the middle of Shema, between the prokim, after the in the middle of the paragraphs. That's before Shmoneh Esrei. Davening means Shmoneh Esrei. Don't say hello to somebody before Shmoneh Esrei. But here, we just had a whole shiur yesterday and today about talking hello before the Shmoneh Esrei. In the middle of Shema, between the Prokem and Shema. So what's going on? Masa Rosh Hashanah is on Mishnah. The Prokem Shomim Ne'akov, the Meshiv. So how do you answer that? So Tirgum Ravada, like I told you, be mashkim lepischo. You shouldn't go out of your way to go and say hello, have a conversation with somebody. You pass somebody on the street, of course you can say hello to him. The guy's walking out from the earlier minyan, you're coming into the later minyan, of course you can say hello to him. That's not what it means. It means, that's, I got to go, you know, across the street to the neighbor over there, schmoozing for 15 minutes before davening. That's not correct. Again, you can learn with him before davening. That's allowed. But to just schmooze, non-learning, that you're not allowed. You have to ask a shayla. You're allowed to ask a shayla before. And anything that's Torah, you're allowed to do, because that's like greeting Hashem. But to go on your own, that you're not allowed to do. The words over here in parentheses, the Marsha skips, so we're late, so we'll skip them as well. Amar Avidi bar Rav, Amar Avidi Yitzchok bar Ashiyon. I have the same name, Ashiyon, over here. It's interesting. So his children were Tamidei Chachamim as well. So also lo liyod and lasso chetzov kodem shispa. You're not allowed to do your own needs before you daven. I tell people all the time. You have to be aware. The first thing you do in the morning is you get up, you wash negavasi, you take care of your bodily needs, you polish your face for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you wash your face, your hands, you get dressed, you go to shul, learn a daven. That's the way a yid gets up in the morning. Again, you have responsibilities for the kids to get them out of the house. A different story. That's also Avodas Hashem. On Friday, you're allowed to go buy the challahs before you daven. So you're allowed to do all sorts of mitzvos before you daven. But that's it. You shouldn't do your own personal needs before davening. And it's based upon the Pasuk Shneimar from Tehillim, Tzedek Lufonov, Yahalech V'yosem L'derech Pomov. So you have to go take care of Hashem's before you take care of your own. If you do it the right way, you daven, and then you go to work. God does what you want. God will do what you do. If you do the right things, God will do what you want. But you do it backwards. Now, if a person doesn't have a choice, he has to go to work before he's allowed to daven. So you go to work, and you work until you're allowed to daven. Doctors sometimes, they're doing surgery at 5 in the morning. They can't daven, so they daven after surgery. So that's also, they're doing mitzvah Hashem. But, you know, if it's for parnasa, that's also, it's a mitzvah to make a parnasa. So for parnasa, there may be heteru. But for your own enjoyment, for your own benefit, you shouldn't do anything before davening. Amrav Yonah, Amrav Zeru, kol alon shivas yom v'lo chalom nikro. If somebody has no dreams for 7 days, in other words, he has no connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then he's considered somebody who is not a good person. Shenemar, because there's play on the pasuk also over here. It says for Mishlei, v'saveya yolin ba'yi poked ra. Al tikri saveya ela sheva. So it's a play on the word saveya. You're not satiated over here. 7. If you don't have any relationship, so to say, with that Kodesh Baruch Hu for 7 days, he doesn't show you in 7 days somehow that he cares about you. So then that's not a good sign. So it's, sometimes you get things in a dream. Again, today we don't fully understand dreams, and today we'll have the whole last parakel here that's going to deal a lot with dreams, so we'll leave it to them to have the further discussion about dreams. But yeah, dreams have a certain significance. The dream is 1/60th of Nevuah, except if you're thinking about it all day. We'll learn there in the Gemara, if you're thinking about elephants flying, and then you dream about elephants flying, don't think it has Nevuah. It's because you're thinking about it. Rahman al-Islam, if a person has improper thoughts during the day, then he has improper thoughts while he's sleeping, he has bad dreams, so then don't be surprised. But if you weren't thinking about elephants flying all day long, and suddenly tonight you're all going to dream about elephants flying. So if you don't think about elephants flying, then you have a dream about elephants flying. That's a sign that Kadosh Baruch Hu is sending you some sort of message. If you have a dream, and suddenly you don't remember it, but you had some sort of a dream, so then that's a good thing. That's an idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu is communicating with you in some indirect form of a way. Don't ask me more about dreams. I don't fully understand it. But we'll learn more about it in the last paragraph.
Amalei Ravach. Jay made a good point just now. Yeah. And Monday,
I had a dream, okay. I always connected it with, it usually comes out around the time of Paro's dreams as well. So I once gave a whole shiur on that. Okay. If you satisfy yourself, satiate yourself with Divrei Torah, then don't worry about the dreams. That's the best communication with you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you won't have any bad news. If you sit and learn, then you have nothing to worry about. It doesn't mean that nothing bad is going to happen to you. It means you have nothing to worry about. Your nitzchias, your eternity will be fine. You know, you're passing through the corridor to get the $1 billion prize that they're giving you in the game show, so they throw confetti at you. It hurts. Okay, big deal. You put up with that to get to the $1 billion prize at the end. So that's what this world is. So any yisurim that you get in this world, as we spoke about, they're nothing. But if you're learning Torah, your nitzchis, your eternity, that's all you care about. Then it says, Elohim ben HaProkem, what are the different parts of the Shema, so we learned. So one sheet that we had was that you're allowed to interrupt between MS and Vyatzev and Ochon, Hashem Elokechem and MS Vyatzev. The other sheet was says, no, you can't. Like we pass it. Don't interrupt between Hashem Lokech and Emes. You don't say Yesh Bei Rabba. You don't say Kedusha. You're not allowed to interrupt at all between Hashem Lokech and the saying of the word Emes. Why? My time. What's the reason for this? The Rabbi Huda, the Rishita, the Sin, because the Pasuk says, in Yirmiyah, Hashem Lokech and Emes. So it's combined over there, so we try to combine it as well. Chos of Yom Emes, so ain't Chos of Yom Emes. Do you repeat when you say Hashem Lokech and Emes, and then Yod Chazan, do you repeat Hashem Lokech and Emes? So Amar Yavor, Rav Yochanan, Chos of Yom Emes. Yeah, the Chazan goes and repeats it. So the Chazan says it to himself, Hashem Lokech and Emes. He waits till the people have a chance to finish saying Shema, if he said it a little bit faster. And then he says Hashem Lokech and Emes out loud. This is to make up when you're davening the tzibur, we don't say Kel Melech Neman, so therefore we say we want to have 248 words in Shema, you only have 245, that's why if you say it alone, you're davening b'yichidus, you say Kel Melech Neman to make the 248 to show the dominance of Hashem Echad over all 248 of your Evarim. And that's the Keneged, the Mitzvah Saseh as well. And therefore, that's why we say Hashem Lokech and Emes, we repeat it when you're in the tzibur. It's an interesting halacha that Rav Moshe brings down, that if you're the chazen, and you're the one that everybody's waiting for, let's say you're the rabbi, you're the person that's davening the slowest in the shul, whatever it is, and you're the chazen, you're saying Hashem Elokeichem, you don't say Emes. He says, you search, say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and then you say, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. You don't say Emes twice, because you're not pausing at all, so therefore you don't have to say it twice. But if you're pausing, you're not allowed to stop. So you have to say Hashem Elokeichem Emes, then wait, oh, the rabbi's done, or whoever you're waiting for done, then you say Hashem Elokeichem Emes again. But if you're actually the one that you're not waiting, then you just say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. You say it out loud. Rav Moshe has that in the Igros Moshe. Rabbi disagrees. Rabbi, Ma'enu Chos of Yom Emes. No, you don't say it twice. You only say it once. How do Nochas come in the Rabbi? Once somebody went in front of Rabbi, and Shami Rabbi, the Yom Emes Emes, Trey Zimni. Rabbi heard him say, Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and he said, Hashem Elokeichem Emes out loud. And Rabbi didn't like that. He said, Omar, Rabbi, call Emes Emes Tovsi Lai. This guy is going, a little bit like he has a seizure over here, that he keeps on saying it over here. Emes, Emes, Emes. You don't have to say Emes. Say it once. That's Rabbi's opinion. We don't possibly like Rabbi, except like Rav Moshe says, if you're the chazan at the saying it without any interruption. Amar Yosef, Kama Ma'ayu, how great is this vort? The Chiyosef of Shmuel Yehuda Omar, he said, when he came over, Ami B'marav, they say in Eretz Yisrael, in Arvis, Daber B'nei Yisrael, Yomar Talem, Ani Hashem Lokechem Emes. They did not say the paragraph of Vayomer at Mariv. Right? You can't adopt this. We don't have the right to pick this sheet for ourselves. But they did a very short third paragraph of Shema. All they said was, Daber b'nei Yisrael, yomarta lehem, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Emes. That's it. That was their entire third paragraph of Shema at Marv. And he lauded it. He said, what a great idea. Amalei Abayi, my Yisrael, what's so great about that? V'amar Rav Kahana, amar Rav, lo yatzlo. You're not supposed to stop the third paragraph at night. Because it has the parashat of Tzitzis. And Tzitzis is only during the day. So you don't say it at night. No, but in his gomer. But if you started it, you should finish it. So what's so great about this? They started it, Daber B'nei Yisrael, and then they didn't finish it. So what's so great about that? Ay, b'chitem of Yomarta Lehem Lo Hayaschol. Oh, maybe that's not called Hatschola. Amar Rav Shmuel B'Yitzchav, Amar Rav, Daber B'nei Yisrael, Lo Hayaschol. Of Yomarta Lehem, Havi Yaschola. So they said the words of Yomarta Lehem. So that's not Hatschola. So they should have finished it. Why are you telling me this is such a great idea that they didn't finish it? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Kesavi B'Marova, they said in Eretz Yisrael, Yomarta Lehem, Nami Lo Havi Yaschola. Ad Yomar V'Yosulam Tzitzis. They said the Hatschola is when you only say the words Yosulam Tzitzis. Once you say Yosulam Tzitzis, then you got to finish it. But they didn't say Yosulam Tzitzis, so therefore they didn't have to finish it. Amar Baye Hilchoch, therefore, Anan, we who don't hold like that, Aschule Meschalinon, we start Umarta Alehem, the Komaskle, the Meschale, the Marava, just like they did in Eretz Yisrael, but we hold that that's the start, therefore, became the Aschalinon, Migbar Nami Gamrinon. Therefore, we finish and say the third paragraph of Shema at night, even though it deals with tzitzis, even though technically the mitzvah tzitzis is not at night. Famous Machlokes, what does it mean the mitzvah tzitzis is not at night? Does it mean that you don't have to wear on your four cornered garment if you wear it at night tzitzis, or does it mean you don't wear on pajamas even during the day? Because they're night garments. That's a famous machlokes, and those are the two possibilities over here. It means tzitzis is not a mitzvah at night. It means that you don't wear tzitzis on a day garment at night, or you don't wear tzitzis on a night garment during the day. That's the machlokes. Dom Rav Kahana, Amar Rav, Lo Yaskel, as Rav Kahana, Amar Rav said, in regards to this, don't start, you don't have to say the paragraph of Vayomer, but Im Hiskel Gomer, and if you did start it, you finish it, which is what we do. Kriya Barab Omar, he said, Amar Ani Hashem Elokeichem Tzorech Lomar Emes. You can't stop. You say Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You must say the word Emes. Lo Amar Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ain't no Tzorech Lomar Emes. But if you didn't say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, so then you don't have to say the word Emes. Gemara says, oh boy, like Kuri Yitzias Mitzrayim. But what about Yitzias Mitzrayim? You have to say Yitzias Mitzrayim. Domar Hochi. So they would stay instead. This tefillah, this beautiful tefillah. Mod Menach Loch Hashem Elkeinu. Shotzi Sonomi Yitzias Mitzrayim. We thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Uvti Sonomi Beis Avodim. And you redeemed us from the house of slave, of servitude, of slavery. And we praise you. And that's enough to be Yotzei Yitzias Mitzrayim, both by day and by night, like we learned from Ben Zoma the other day. Why is Parsha Shema the first paragraph? So we gave the reason, because it's not the order in the Torah, but we said Shema is Mekabel Omachu Shemayim, and therefore you want to be Mekabel Omachu Shemayim before you Mekabel all the mitzvos in the second paragraph, and then the mitzvah Kriya Shema in the third paragraph. That's what we said. Now we ask the question, Tanya, we learned the Brisa, Rishimu Yechoy Omer, but then who Shiyakdim Shema Lavo Yom Shemoa? You should have said Shema before Yom Shemoa. Why? Shazel Lil Mod Vizel Lil Ame. This one is to learn, and this one is to teach. Vayom Shemoa Lavo Yomer, Shazel Lil Mod, it should be Lil Ame over here, Vizel Lassos, and that one's to do. So the performance of the mitzvos, of the paragraphs over here, is based upon which is the more important thing, to teach, to learn, or to do. So Gemara says, what? What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, to shma lumo dispe, to learn it in spe, lalami lasos lespe? It only has one attribute over here, the teaching of it. It doesn't have the learning of it, the doing it. Fox it. Vishinantum, you shall teach it to them. Ukshatim, you shall do it. Uksaftum, and you shall write it down. That's another form of doing. So shma has all three aspects to it. Lumo, lalami, and lasos. So that's the Chiddush over here. It has all three aspects to it. The so furthermore, Vayim Shema, Lelamed who this may, the Lassos less may. The second paragraph only has to teach, and it doesn't have to do. Voksiv Ukshat Uksaftim. It also has to do. So the second paragraph also has two attributes. It doesn't have three, but it has two. So this is the answer. El Halki Kamar. Bedin Hu Shetikadem Shema Vayim Shemoa. She said Lilmod Lelamed Lassos. The real reason is over here. The Shema has all three attributes: to learn, to teach, and to do. Vayim Shemoa has two of them. That's why it goes ahead of Vayomer. She says Yesh Bo Lilami Vilasos and Vayomer Ain Bo Elilasos Bilvad. So that's the reason why the order is as it is: three attributes, two attributes, one attribute. So Gemara says, "Well, why do you give us the other reason of Kabbal Omach Shemayim?" Why didn't you give the reason of Rav Shubin Karcha? You should be Mekabel Omach Shemayim before you do the mitzvah. So before you do all the mitzvah, then before you do the mitzvah Kriyat Shema of Tzitzis. So he says, "Yeah, they're both right. Chada V'Yod Kamar. They're both right." There's a combination of reasons over here. Number one, Chodok, Kadeshi Kabbalah, Machu Shemayim, Tchila, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. That's reason number one. And by the way, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. And by the way, reason number two, V'yachakachi Kabbalah, all mitzvos. Then you accept all mitzvos. V'oh, Bishum this behani mili yachri niyosa. And also, because you have 3-2-1. So it's both reasons, they're both appropriate. Rav Moshe Yodav Kori Kriyashma. Rav would wash his hands before he would say Kriyashma, because there's tumma on his hands from sleeping, whatever, or they were unclean. And then he'd say Kriyat Shema, and only afterwards Anach Tefillin. He then put on the Tefillin after that. So, again, seems to be out of order. That's the question that the Gemara is going to ask over here. And then he would put on Tefillin, Umatzli, and he would daven. The Bach is the word, the man. Umatzli. Agmar says, Hechi Ovid Hochi. We learned in the Brayis of Otanya, Hachofer Kuch Lameis, when people are going and they're digging graves, Nebuch, for the dead, so Bekever, so Potter, Mikriyashma, the people that are grave diggers are doing a mitzvah, so they say Potter, they don't say Shema. Umina Tvila, and they don't daven, they don't say Shmonesse, Umina Tvila, they don't have to put on the Tvila, they all say Pemitzvah. Or we call Mitzvah some words with Torah, they don't have to do any other mitzvah, they're dealing with the mace is a tremendously important mitzvah to take care of, so they're Potter from all other mitzvahs. Now, notice it says you don't have to do anything. Then it says, Higiyasma and Kriyashma, but if it's time of Kriyashma, all of the notes you all do when you have to fill the Kori Kriyashma Mispal. So here's the Raya against Rav. It says that they would go and say Kriyashma after they washed their hands and put on their tefillin. So Rav, how come you did your wash your hands, said Shema, and then put on your tefillin? You see from here the order is that you should wash your hands, put on your tefillin, then say Shema. So that's the Kasha on Rav. But first, there's an intrinsic kasha. First, he said you don't have to say Kriyashma and put on tefillin. And now you tell me, but it's the time for Kriyashma, then you put on your tefillin and say Kriyashma. So which one is it? Hagufa kasha. Reish, Amar, Pot, Dov, Sefer, Chayiv. It seems to be incongruent over here. First, you tell me you don't have to do it, then you tell me you have to do it. So Gemara says, that's easy to explain the internal contradiction of your holokasha. Sefer, Betrev, Reish, Bechad. The first one is talking about where there's only one guy davening, one guy digging the grave, so he can't stop. The grave won't get dug. Second one is, there's only room for one guy at a time. They spell each other, right? So the first guy is digging, the second guy says Kriyashma. Second guy now says Kriyashma, the first guy digs. So you have two guys, you can do both, so you do both. You're not Osik B'mitzvah at that moment in time. Okay, so we answer the internal contradiction. Mekomakom Kashla Rav, Rav seemed to put on his tefillin only after he said Shema. Here it says you should put on the tefillin before you say Shema. So what does Rav do? We call him Kashla Rav. So Rav Kavishum and Karcha Svirla. He also like Kavishum and Karcha. The Amar, all Malchus Shemayim Tchila. First, you have to have all Malchus Shemayim. You can't do anything before all Malchus Shemayim. Even after that, even before you do mitzvahs. V'yachakach, all mitzvahs. So the mitzvah is Tfilin. But first, you got to accept all Malchus Shemayim to be able to put on Tfilin properly. That's how Rav held. We don't hold like that for the reasons it says. Emadar Rav Yishuv ben Karcha lahakdim kriya l'kriya. When Rav Yishuv ben Karcha said you have to have all Malchus before you have mitzvahs, that's in a theoretical construct in the terms of the paragraph. This paragraph versus that paragraph. But Kriyali Asiyah Mishamaslay, who says he says that you have to have all Malchus Shemayim before you do the mitzvah itself? That's in the reading of the paragraphs. But where does it come to the actual doing the mitzvah? You have to have all Malchus Shemayim before you do the mitzvah. If the zman of the mitzvah is if the action of tefillin is shakim osi adecha, so you have to have it on when he says Shema. Besum, Yisav alei k'rishuv and karcha. Who says he even holds like k'rishuv and karcha? V'amar Rav Chiya v'Rav Ashi, Zimn and Sagin have a kamin and kamei the Rav. I was by Rav sometimes. Umakdim, what his practice was, he would get up, umashi adei, he would wash his hands, umavarach, and he would say the brachos, umas delon, and he'd say birchas haTorah, umas delon pirkin, he'd give the shir, and then umanach tefillin v'ol k'ri kriya Shema. So you see, he himself did it elsewhere in that order. I v'chitema, but lo mat zman kriya Shema. If you tell him over here, it wasn't the zman of kriya Shema, and that's why he davened over here. He put on the tefillin because it wasn't yet the zman of kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is later than the zman of tefillin. Same case, my sadasi drachiy barashi. So then, what's he coming to teach us? So Gemara says, lafu kemi man diomar lemishne ain't tzorach levarach. So the chiddush over here was he's teaching us nothing to do with kriya Shema and tefillin. It really was. It wasn't the time for Shema. So therefore, he put on his tefillin first. So what's the chiddush over here? He's telling us that he was learning mishnayis and he has to make birchas haTorah. Because remember, we had an opinion that said you don't make birchas haTorah for learning mishnayis. So here, Kamash Lon that you do. Kamash Lon. Bafla Mishnah, Nami Sorach Levarach. No, Mikomakom Ukasha Lerav. So the Gemara says, so but before he said it gave us the case that he didn't put on tefillin, he said Shema, and then he put on his tefillin. So why didn't Rav follow his own Shita? The Gemara says, no, Shlucha Hudavis. The guy who was bringing his tefillin was late that day. So the guy who was bringing his tefillin was late. That's why he didn't put on his tefillin before he said Kriya Shema. And we learn out a lot of Dinim over here that you're allowed to go put on your tefillin in between Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei because you see that Rav got it right after he said Shema. So there's actually a lot of Dinim that we learn out over here. Okay, we'll stop at this point over here. I wish everybody good Shabbos. I'm going to dictate the regular shiur tomorrow by Rafi in between Mincha Ma'ariv, and I'm going to dictate the shiur for tomorrow sometime in Mitzvah Hashem this morning, so those that aren't able to make the Rafi shiur, or for whatever the reason, want to chazer it over, it'll be up there on YU Torah, Mitzvah Hashem, before the end of today, before Shabbos. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Regular shiur on Monday. It's not a holiday schedule.